Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I broke up with a girl because she went on a date with him. Dennis Haybert.
Yeah, the Allstate guy?
Yeah.
Are you in good hands?
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Pasta.
Pasta's looking for an Emmy, man.
Sticking it to him. And, of course, he comes back with the Major League soundtrack underneath.
Are you in good hands? That's awesome.
Well.
That's funny.
I guess, no, she would. She could have been in better hands.
Speaking of all-star parties where I stole Dennis Haybert's date, what's the latest? What's the latest update?
Dude, I'm working too hard. I can't. I haven't been able to make these
calls. This is what you should be working on, my man.
No, honestly, on All-Star Sunday.
Nothing's happening on a Sunday, bro.
No, it's not. Well, but I'm going to have to call. There's like these three NBA global games they asked me to do play-by-play for in Oakland.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I got to do those.
That's awesome.
Which also means I might not be able to go out Saturday night.
Oh, come on. That's the way you roll.
Easy.
No, I mean, that's part of your character. You're sort of speaking of throwbacks, you go out hard, you get that raspy voice, you shake off the hangover, and you knock it out. As opposed to...
Yeah, not every week, but the thing is...
Being in your PJs at 8 o'clock at night for curfew.
Well, no, I'm not one of those guys. But I do enjoy a good night's rest, just not typically on Fridays. I do try to be... You got to channel a little bit of, like, you're Bill King. Like, Bill King gets a lot of credit for being a fantastic play-by-play voice. And the voice of, really, the East Bay. Raiders, yeah. Warriors, A's, all at the same time. And a Renaissance man. He's an eclectic taste. Mm. He's a sailor and loves Russian poetry. He also liked white Russians.
Did he?
Yeah. Bill King got after it.
Did he?
Yeah. If you read Holy Toledo.
Didn't even think it was possible for him to elevate it even more.
The book about him. One of the things that he and Wilt Chamberlain shared in common was their affinity for white Russians. And that's how I think he became so close, early score in the book. With Wilt was because they would drink white Russian Kahlua and cream. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's I don't know if it's a forgotten poison, but I don't really see too many people order it. Like the Big Lebowski, I think, kind of popularized it, right? The dude that was his drink.
It's tasty. It's almost good. It's like having a milkshake, but it has a high level of alcohol content.
Yeah, no, I think, but that's the thing about it. So it's like,
it's kind of like an after dinner liqueur, a little bit, Kahlua.
Well, or it could be before, or it could be during.
Yeah,
if you're Bill King, so that's, you know, a part of Warriors history that is left off the menu.
I love the story where you told me he actually got kicked out of a game.
Oh yeah, he got kicked out of a Warriors game because he was mother bleeping the ref.
That's so him.
And they caught it on the radio, because one thing that you have to always remember, that if you're going to say something and you do not want it to go on the air, you don't just turn off your mic. You have to turn off the crowd mic, which is usually sitting very close to the announcer.
An engineer doesn't do that for you?
No. Oftentimes, well, an engineer can do that for you, or you can do it because you're the one, you're talking, right? So if I'm going to talk to someone in the crowd and tell them to shut the hell up, I'm going to turn my mic off, and then the board is usually right next to you, and I can turn that crowd mic up or down. Bill King, the night that he got ejected, was going after the rest for some bad call or something like that. Didn't like the call. So he turns his mic off. He forgets to turn the crowd mic off.
Oh, so it wasn't necessarily what he said.
Well, no. It is what he said, but it also went out over the air.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you could hear the reason for him being ejected from an NBA game. To my knowledge, the only broadcaster that's ever been ejected from an NBA game. And that was, of course, when he was calling Golden State Warriors games, I imagine the 70s.
Well, that's what I find fascinating about you, is that you're a play-by-play radio guy. Because it's really a lost art. The days of Bill King and Lon Simmons, and when I was a child, I mean, people still listen to the radio. I couldn't tell you who's calling A's games these days. I know that they've changed, and they're changing personnel again, I'm assuming. But no, it's one of the two guys that have been doing it forever.
Well, Vince Catronio's contract is done, right? Yeah. So it's Ken Korak is always, he's been the lead voice since Bill King passed away in 2005.
And I guess the Warriors, I take that back. Warriors' voices are legendary. But there's just,
Somebody's been there forever.
I mean, it was the only way you could listen to games.
Yeah.
Or find out what was going on, because not every game was televised.
Well, it's definitely not as emphasized as it used to be.
It's just a lost art, I think.
Yeah, but it hits different. Like, basketball on radio is obviously way different than listening to or watching it, you know. But I enjoy it driving around, listening to Tim Rye. I think he does an awesome job.
He's good.
He and Tom Tolbert do a really good job.
Really good job.
You can kind of feel the chemistry. Like, that's where... And I think that this station does a good job, too. It's like you can hear the chemistry between particular people. Speaking of chemistry, because I was on yesterday sitting in for Guru, I do have to say this. Honestly, I do want to apologize to Daryl, the Guru Johnson. We had some fun at his expense during the crossover yesterday, and looking back on it, I really regret it. We took some cheap shots at him, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but I had to say it on the air because I know it kind of cut him. And it was unfair. Like, taking shots at people when they're not there to defend themselves is not something that I want to associate myself with. And I can't speak for Steiny, but I imagine he feels the same way. So I want to apologize publicly to Daryl the Guru Johnson for the fun we had at his expense yesterday, telling, honestly, some lies because they were believable. And that's not fair. You shouldn't do that to people.
But I think the fact that you went there, and I don't know what the hell it is that you said. Now I got to go back and listen. This is fascinating.
Well, no, I mean,
But the fact that you went there shows that there's a sense of you were comfortable, and that your relationship with him, that you felt as though you could go there. Like, there's a sense of familiarity that maybe you abused, but I'd like to think that the foundation of your friendship is the reason that you got a little excessive.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I call Dan Devone a coconut, it's because I know that he's not going to take it seriously. If we didn't have a good relationship, you and I would not go after you or make fun of you.
Like, I would love for you
to do the same thing.
Anybody.
Huh?
And I'm not part of a crossover, to go after me to the point where you think that you could actually, like, getting to a point where, like, it's going to unnerve me, or it's really... Because...
No, but you can paint a picture about someone that if they're not there to defend themselves, people can take and run with.
Sure, sure.
And you're leaning into this already kind of built-in idea of what people think about you as a radio host. Like, no one really gets to interact, and I think our station does a really good job at going out and meeting people and being in the community. So you have an idea of the kind of person that people are, but, like, no one really knows Dan Devone or Evan Giddings off the air. because they know us here from what we say, and it's all on the record. Like, whatever I say, I can't take back. So that's why I wanted to apologize, because what we said yesterday was unfair.
All right.
Anyways, do you hear what Bob Myers said earlier this week on, ironically, Steining Guru? He's talking about the mindset of a GM. What happens before the trade deadline, and what's it like working with Joe Lacob?
It's pretty rough. I mean, it's much more than maybe the public realizes. You know, this isn't like you woke up 2 days before the deadline and decided to make a trade. I can tell you about the Wiggins one we did. It's pretty exhausting from a standpoint of just running out a ton of ground balls. I mean, most of the stuff you discuss in detail, you don't end up doing, or you'll move forward. You'll get to the 10-yard line with another team, and they'll just pull out and say they got a better deal somewhere else, or they'll change the deal, or something will happen. A guy will sprain his ankle, the deal's off. Somebody's medicals will come back negatively. But every time you go through it, you learn something, and you learn about your peers. You learn who you can trust. You learn about your own group. Some people in the group are more aggressive, some more conservative. Ultimately, it's Joe's team. It's his call. And I accepted that, and that's what every organization operates under, is it's the owner's team.
So why haven't we heard from the owner? I wonder what Joe Lacob is up there cooking up.
Well, he just told you. He speaks loudly to the GM, but never publicly. Why should he? It's the GM that's got to go out in center stage and take the bullets.
Well, but that's not always how it's been. And I guess it's more been because then they've been on top. But Joe Lacob is as public, in my opinion, as of a owner.
Yeah, not this time of the year, though. Maybe post-championships, off-season, but during a trade deadline, yeah, you don't hear anything out of these guys.
But we've heard him speak, to my knowledge, publicly, twice in the last 6 months. Once was during the summer, and I think it was in the aftermath of the Markkanen chase. Maybe it was the Paul George one, too. And then the second time was after the Schroeder deal. But there was not really any big picture discussions about the direction of the team. And I just feel like, again, you know, they were on top. Things were going well. Joe isn't someone that, number one, I think he can take criticism. Like, he's not afraid of people and their disbelief in whatever the Warriors are. But I just find it interesting that he has not been as, hasn't been as public.
Well, I think he's been very vocal. We just don't hear it. And maybe he's becoming a little bit more insular over the latter part of his run. But I think he's... Rest assured, he's in Dunleavy's ear, probably on the daily.
I think that front office is stressed right now. I think
they got to do something, and you got to pull the trigger.
They know it,
but the trigger's got to be one or the other. It's either we're going to go Jimmy Butler, sort of that Paul George, Lauri Markkanen, as you talked about, and try and win right now, which is ridiculous, makes no sense to me. Or we need to go. We need to go in another direction and show the first signs that we're going to go young. Like, Thursday is going to be the first. We're going to shoot a flare gun, and we're going to let everybody know that, hey, this is who we are. Okay? We are now. We just got off of Kevon Looney, GP2, Dennis Schroeder, and maybe Draymond Green. Because I think it's going to take someone like that, a Draymond Green, to really shake it up. Not necessarily him. Maybe it's Kevon Looney, but it's going to take something to that level where we're going to recognize that we're going in another direction. It's over. The Draymond, Steph, Clay, Iguodala, it's done. It's part of history. And this is the new iteration of the Golden State Warriors. What is that iteration? Well, we're going to find out on Thursday, but it's going to be something that if you're doing a show here on Friday and you're filling in for Guru Steiny, that the phone lines better be lit up like a Christmas tree. Because people are either going to be one way or the other. And that's what you need, not to drive, you know, phone calls and or listeners here at the pro, but that's what being directional is going to create.
Yeah.
It's going to divide the room.
It is, and it should, because I think there's got to be a lot of different thought processes about who the Warriors are and where they want to go. I think, like Myers just said, Lacob's voice is the one that matters. But because of the inconsistency of the team, I also imagine that the deadline approach is also a bit inconsistent. Like, I don't know how it's possible to be aligned right now in that front office. Because there's so many different points of data that you could use to make your argument. For example, you don't think the team, you think the team is a lottery team, right? The last 2 months would tell you that. But we've also heard the team reference their start to the season, which at this point is a mirage. But they also have a couple of big wins recently. They've also sort of stabilized things because they've gone 500 in the month of January. My point is that they're all over the board. And I just don't understand how, if you're trying to make a choice about the deadline, you can get 7 or 8 people that are making those decisions and have them all agree on the same thing.
Yeah, but that's, I think that's true for the majority of teams.
No, but I think most...
I see what you're saying.
But I think most teams are, I don't want to say in lockstep. You know, there's differing thoughts. But teams in the Warriors' position are kind of choosing whether to not, whether either to go up or go down. And the Warriors are like, well, we want to do this, but we also got to accomplish this. And we got Curry that we got to appease. So we can't tank, but also we know we can't really get that much better. And we don't want to mortgage this. Like, I don't know what they want.
Well, somebody's voice has to be the loudest. And no. I'm thinking it's going to be Dunleavy. If Dunleavy's like, listen, you pay me to do a job, this is what we got to do. This is the best for the team. Somebody, you have to be a visionary. Like, it's you're not going to appease everybody. And that was my biggest problem with Farhan. Roll the dice, all right? Just give me, go young. Or what is it that we're going to do at a trade deadline? And so Dunleavy has got to have a focus. You've got to say, this is where we're going to be in 3 years. This is where we're going to be at this time next year. And then we're going to build off of that so that the following year we're going to incrementally get better with 10 more wins. But there's got to be a plan in place. And that, as a GM, that's how you separate the good GMs from the average ones and the ones that aren't very good at all, is that you have to be willing to roll the dice, especially if you're someone like that of the Golden State Warriors, where you've hit that fork in the road that this is, it may not be popular, but this is the road we're going down. Philadelphia was the process. Okay, so we've seen it before. I actually like where Portland's at. I would say Portland right now in a 7-game series.
Stop it.
I would say Portland right now in a 7-game series. Are you confident that the Golden State Warriors can win 4 of those games?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
Had a hell of a week.
that's true.
And the one thing about
that's
the Warriors, you know, we could talk about they're a 500 team in January, but remember this homestand or these 9 games where they weren't playing out in Northern California? A lot of people say, oh, they're going to be 7-2, 8-1. This is it. This is what they make the run. They're 4-4 against crappy teams, basically. And a lot of it at home. And I think it's a team that's it's not tanking, but they're going into the lottery, and that's the best thing for this team. Because what is it that you want out of this? Let me ask you, Ev, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
What is it that you want out of this trade deadline? If you're a fan that wants to win this year, what is it that you're going to do come Thursday that's going to fulfill that? Going to fulfill the potential to be good in this year's postseason?
To be good? Oh, boy.
Well, why else would you trade for a player who's in their mid-30s or a free agent? You want to be good today, right? You're not trading for Jimmy Butler for tomorrow.
No, but you're trading. All right, if you're going to go in that direction, to me, that the goal, because right now you're looking at the Western Conference. You got 4 teams in front of you between you and the 6. Technically 5 if you're throwing the Clippers in there. I don't think the Warriors are jumping 5 teams. I don't care who they get in here. At least of the names that are on the board. No players. Jimmy Butler's not coming in here and helping them jump 5 teams. Zach LaVine is not coming in here and helping them jump 5 teams. Even Zion Williamson, I don't think would help them jump 5 teams unless you can guarantee me that he's going to play the next 35 games.
It's funny that he's the one guy you qualified the response with, but go ahead.
Well, he's clearly the best talent.
Yeah.
Like, he's clearly the only cornerstone franchise player that is available. But we all know the reason why. That's why you have to qualify it. He ain't on the market because he's a bad player. He's on the market because he can't be on the floor. And I think he's kind of fed up in New Orleans. Yeah. Like, did you read this week that he's like, well, I can play back-to-backs, but the New Orleans Pelicans basically are my employers, and they're telling me I ain't playing back-to-back.
It's a perfect scenario because both of them want to wash their hands of the other. Yeah, I don't think you got to give up that much to get this guy.
I think you do. You don't have to give up, like, the world, but Zion Williamson is going to come at a pretty penny. And by that, I mean first-round picks, a couple young players. I don't know. I mean, again, Dan, I said this to you. You asked me the question earlier in the show. Why the hell not? Why not? Look at us. Look at who we are. We're a 500 basketball team.
Tom Cruise, sometimes you just got to say.
We're the 11th seed in the West. Bleep it. You know? Why not? Go get Zion. Although I actually do think, like realistically, I don't think they're going to trade him at the deadline. I think that would be something that you could approach this summer. And that is also why the deadline is kind of important. To me, what you asked what I want. I don't think there's a... I don't think they can go north that high. What I want... One of my friends has this, God, Zed song he plays all the time. It's called Clarity. Yeah, I want clarity. What are you trying to do? That's why even if the Warriors are, for example, inactive, but they move an expiring deal to get under the tax, that at least gives me some clarity of what you're aiming for, which is you're trying to cut costs. You're trying to make things cheaper so that you can make a big run at a big boy this summer. That at least is something I know. I might not like it, but there's clarity. If you stand pat at the deadline, you provide no clarity. If you make a lateral move, you provide no clarity. And that's what the Warriors have to begin doing, clarifying what they're doing. Because it's really difficult from afar, and not everybody's got as much intimate knowledge as all these insiders and media people. I don't know what they're doing. If someone walked up to me and asked me on the street, where do you think the Warriors are going? I don't know. They're circling the runway, but they won't land, and they won't go up to 30,000 feet and try and fly somewhere else.
It's a little bit harder to tear it down to the studs if you're the Warriors, as opposed to if you're Washington or Charlotte.
Yeah,
or
I don't Brooklyn. Think they can.
But you can still rebuild. I mean, the Lakers are going to do it eventually. Well, LeBron is... They'll go out and get their next LeBron. But in the interim...
They can do that, though. I don't think the Warriors are in a position to.
No, but my point is that markets like L.A. and San Francisco, Lakeb is not going to just rid this team of everybody and just lean in on draft picks and get into the lottery. You could still be... That's why Steph has probably got to stick around. You can still put butts in the seat. But there's still got to be a direction with Steph as to where this team is headed. And the only way that you can get back to where it is that you want to go is by leaning in on the youth. And that's young players, and that's also draft picks. And that's getting into that lottery. Getting a single-digit pick. Getting 1 through 9. Which means you're going to have to plummet a little bit further. But that may happen anyways. Because look out, here comes San Antonio.
I mean, yeah, you really like the Spurs. You're going to like them a lot more when they get De'Aaron Fox. Yeah. I mean, that's honestly... best talent out there, by the way.
People are coming down on De'Aaron Fox, but you don't have to sign an extension.
What do you mean?
For De'Aaron Fox. You have to sign an extension. Go play wherever I want. I don't want to sign... If I don't want to sign with Sacramento...
Oh, that's why I think they're going to trade him.
Yeah. But there's nothing... I wouldn't point a finger or point a gun at De'Aaron Fox and say, man, you just, what's wrong with you? No, it's like, you don't have to sign an extension if you don't want it.
Well, he didn't sign an extension this summer with the Kings. I think that's what people were saying was the beginning of the end. What I do think that there's some criticism for him is that he made it messy, right? I think De'Aaron Fox is a good guy. I think he's a good dude, but you got your coach fired and now you want out. Like, why didn't you try?
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think the Kings knew this summer, that this was eventually what it was going to come to. But Mike Brown ended up being in the crosshairs as a result.
You know, sometimes at the end of the day, you just don't want to live in Sacramento. Nothing against Sacramento. I think the reason
it's
why
been there for a decade,
Kevin
basically.
Durant left OKC is that he did not want to be in Oklahoma anymore. I'm friends with...
Whoop.
Yeah, I won't even go there. Anyways... You know Nick Collinson? He played with Seattle. He went to OKC.
Oh, yeah, former Supersonic.
Yeah,
he's a legend. Kansas guy?
Yeah, couldn't shoot his free throws in the finals. And we stay in touch, and he used to live by me in Seattle. He had this beautiful, not by me, down on the lake. Anyways, when he was in OKC, we stayed in touch. He's like, this is miserable. This is miserable. And sometimes, I just think Kevin Durant didn't want to live there anymore. And sometimes I think that, you know, The minute there's an opportunity for me to walk, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I don't want to hang in Sacramento. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but sometimes it's just that fundamental.
Well, he's from Texas.
It's Houston. Know. He's a Houston guy. That's why it makes going back to
From Katy.
The Rockets. Yeah.
Well, or San Antonio. I mean, they're not that far. But yeah, he wants to go home. I don't blame him. You know. But yeah, I mean, there is something to location. I don't think the Warriors are. Golden State's never really been a free agent destination. I think that's one of the reasons why they wanted to move to San Francisco. And I'm from the East Bay. I love Oakland. But, you know, you try to dress it up a little more, I guess, when you're courting a free agent, come to the city. You know, you're going to live in a high rise by the water.
How do you dress up Oklahoma?
You don't.
I want some funnel cake?
With tumbleweeds? I don't know.
Want a funnel cake and a deal on an angioplasty when you're 50?
So Oklahoma is actually one of the... I can't talk crap about it. I've never been there. I've never been to Oklahoma.
Neither
have I. Well, it's one of the few states that I haven't been to. Like, I've driven through Arkansas, been to Mississippi, been through the Deep South. Never got to Oklahoma, but I've been to pretty much everywhere else. I have to imagine it's not that... Like, everywhere's got a downtown, but it's not even Sacramento.
I don't mind Zach, actually,
by the way. Zach gets a bad rap.
Oh, I'm not coming down on Zach. I'm just saying it's something to consider.
No, that's true. The Warriors are going to have to consider some locations coming up in a bit. We're going to round this show out. If you want to get any phone calls in, any text messages, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone back after this with our final segment on Warriors This Week.
Heel passes to Kyle Anderson, dribble handoff for Wiggins, set the screen for Andrew. He takes a three and hit it. And the Warriors get a bucket, and Wiggins ties Chris Mullin. Seventh most threes made in Warrior history at 590.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was it, Till Infinity? Do you know this beat?
No, I don't.
Peace, Oakland. Souls of Mischief. One of the best beats ever. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVault, Warriors this week. One more segment left. All right, DeVault.
Let's go, man. Yeah, let's go, Warriors.
Shut up. I've been beating around the bush. No one's going to like it, but to me, in a perfect world, the Warriors find a way to acquire Zach LaVine without moving Andrew Wiggins. If they can't do that, and they can't find a move that upgrades this roster without stripping, I think, an important piece of it, which is also happens to be their biggest contract, apparently, that can be moved, Wiggins, I believe the Warriors are most likely to move some pieces of the championship team from 2022, duck the tax, and prepare to try and go after a big name this summer. It's something that no one's really going to like.
I like it.
Well, you're going to like it.
It's about time.
But a lot of fans aren't, I think.
Oh, what do the fans want? I love you, Dub Nation, and I get it, but what really?
They want LaVine.
To what?
So average 30 a game and get the Warriors into the playoffs.
Get into the playoffs and suddenly steal a win. We may get to the Western Conference Finals, and you never know. We could surprise people. There's no surprises. There's nothing behind door two with this Warrior team. Look at the roster construction. You got Lindy Evans, you got Schroeder, you got Buddy Hield, you got a guy by the name of Quentin, last name Post, that you're relying on. And you got Steph at age 37 and Draymond often hurt at age 36. It ain't happening anymore. I hate to be that guy, but it's time to face reality, and that's what's going to happen on Thursday. It's gut check time. Look in the mirror and be honest with who the hell you are. You got nothing in the cupboard. There's nothing there. There's nothing that's going to save you. There's no cavalry coming over the hill. This is it. Start anew. We enjoyed. That was fun as hell, man. It's been going on since 2013, 2014. That was a blast. Things come to an end. But if you start anew, maybe we can get back to relevancy. Maybe, and I'm speaking French, which I rarely do, we with the Golden State Warriors, yes, we can get back to a place where it's going to be exciting again. But you can't rinse anything out of this anymore. What do you want to do with Draymond and Steph? They clearly don't have it any longer. You can't be an MVP every night, and you don't have the supporting cast to take you to where it is you think that you belong.
No, you can't rely on those two guys anymore. I think that's the biggest, I don't know about the biggest flaw, but certainly one of the major flaws of this roster is they're built on the backs of those two players. And we've learned 48 games in, you cannot rely for 82 games on Steph Curry and Draymond Green to be A, great every night, B, healthy every night. The Warriors, and that's where I guess I'll get on the LaVine bandwagon, at least that's somebody that you can envision being a player that can carry you for a game, someone that can carry you for 6 minutes. He's also an injury-prone player, and he's been in the league for 11 years, but to hell with it. Like, I need the Warriors at the deadline on Thursday to just tell us what they're thinking, to tell us what they're... I need clarity, Dan. And that's why I also think that ducking the tax, and, like, to me, what I think we're going to end up looking back on this season as a financial transition, because they footed the largest luxury tax bill in the history of basketball last year, didn't make the playoffs, and didn't have a first-round pick. It was like the worst possible thing that could happen. This year, they've got their books in order. They have an opportunity at the deadline to get their books further in order, reset things. But I don't think it means rebuild. Like, maybe that's where we differ. I think that moving under the tax of the deadline is not a bad proposition. But I don't think it's because they're going to try and just start anew. I think it's because they're going to try and make a run at somebody this summer. It could be Zion. It could, maybe it's a cheaper Jimmy Butler. I don't know. But it's going to be somebody that I think the Warriors have an idea about now. Like, in their perfect world, there's a player out there this summer that can help them, and more importantly, help Curry and Draymond. Because those players cannot get it done every night anymore. We saw it last night.
But if you do that, you're subscribing to the very thing that you abhor.
But
you're just going to prolong the middling. If you go out and get a player...
But what if that player's young?
Even if he's young, You're still being reliant on Steph and Draymond.
I don't think you are.
Well, you just said that you know, you get Steph and you get Draymond,
I would like, in a perfect world where, and maybe the phrasing was incorrect, help Curry and Draymond. Curry and Draymond have to transition into the help. That's what I mean. Like, they have to be the twos and threes.
They're sort of doing that right now. You just don't have a number one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least on a given night, it could be somebody else. But that's kind of my point. Like, that player, or maybe it's a couple players. You know, they built this season around Curry and Draymond in an unfair place in their careers, which is aging, lack of health, and I think just a lack of expectation. Like, did you think that Curry was going to play 75 games? Did you think that Draymond was going to play 75 games this year? If they did, that to me is an exception. Like, that's more of an outlier than anything else.
I think if you can get something for Draymond, which I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody out there, maybe it's Detroit, and going back home and you sell some tickets. Or there's a team out there that feels as though they need a veteran leader this year, that can put them over the top. Like, if there's somebody out there that says, we need, they're having the opposite conversation that we're having in sports talk radio, say in Houston. They're doing Rockets this week, and they're not thinking about the future. They're like, what we need to do on Thursday is go all in on this year's team, because the window for an NBA championship doesn't open every year. In fact, we could go a lifetime before it happens again. We need to go get that one player who's going to connect us and is battle-tested and can put us over the top so we win that title. And maybe it's Draymond Green. And maybe someone like Houston is willing to overpay or mortgage their future for a Draymond Green. Or maybe it's Memphis, or maybe it's Dallas, or maybe it's one of these young basketball teams. Could be OKC. They got enough capital. And the Warriors have got to make that move. Got to make that move. You cannot hang even Kevon Looney. Listen, if Klay Thompson can walk out the door, you can say goodbye to Draymond Green. You can also say goodbye to Kevon Looney.
Well, Looney, you're going to have to say goodbye to, because he's an expiring.
Yes. Kevon Looney, GP2. If we're doing this show next week and Kevon Looney, GP2, and Dennis Schroeder are still on this team, that's not a good thing. And if
by
Draymond,
Thursday.
Yeah, if you and I are doing this show next Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if Draymond Green's on this team, I would say that's a missed opportunity. Because what is it that if you come back to camp with Draymond, who's now going to be 37 and is still going to be injury prone, you're still facing the same dilemma. We're still old. And we're still hanging on to something and creating this imbalance, because are we getting young? Well, how does the youth work when Draymond's still in the building?
Well, I think there is an advantage to having champions on your roster. Like, whether they're prominent pieces or role pieces, it does help to have experience. You know, maybe next year we're talking about Draymond coming off the bench. Maybe we're talking in a couple of years about Curry coming off the bench. That's the next stages in their careers. Because they're already playing, like, they're already talking about minutes restrictions. You know, Curry's not playing most back-to-backs anymore.
But when I was talking about being a visionary, you've got to get ahead of this. You can't, it's a risk. And if you're talking about, well, Draymond comes off the bench, how about moving them all together? Because that's what I mean as a GM. Something has to be drastic here. We have, to your point, if you want clarity, provide clarity. And take a damn stance, get to the plate, and swing at that fastball. I don't want this, well, we got their experience, and we're going to bring them back for another year, and we'll continue to see where this goes with our two best players, you know, now knocking on the doorstep of 40 years of age.
No, but I also think that like Draymond, for example, I also don't think the Warriors would move him for, like, filler and a pick. You know, I don't think that Draymond is a player that fetches you that much. So again,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's the only reason why. Again, if you could get one or two unprotected first round picks for Draymond Green,
pack his bags.
I think the Warriors would very much consider that. He ain't worth that. There's no team in the league that'd pay him that, or that would pay for that. He's not. He's worth more to the Warriors than he is to the rest of the NBA at this point in his career. And I'm not the biggest Draymond Green fan, but to me, trying to get younger, you can do that without having to remove yourself from, I guess, the Hall of Famers, so to speak, because they're in a different category than the champs. Like, Looney to me, GP2, and I was sipping the Kool-Aid on Wednesday. I did post-game, and to me, I was like, I don't know if I can trade these guys. After 48 hours sleeping on it, thinking about it, if they do, I'll understand why. And I think it's because they're going to try and duck the luxury tax. They're going to try and save money. And who knows? Maybe they bring him back at a minimum next year. But, like, you can't have players that are role guys or, like, Kevon Looney's been out of the rotation at times this year. He's not a bad player, but let him go. Like, let GP2 go. You know, starting to remove some of the pieces of a championship that you think is going to, for some reason, emerge or just, like, happen. You know, the pixie dust is wearing off.
His dunk was nasty, though.
He sure was.
He went another level. That was Michael Jordan-esque.
Dude, that was
He climbed another level.
Remember John Starks?
That's a great call. That's Hakeem what Olajuwon. I was thinking of. That's baseline. What I was thinking of.
With the left hand, too. That was pretty nasty.
Looks nicer when guys are like 6'2", 6'3", throw down, as opposed to someone like 6'6", just simply because they go much higher. Their verticality is...
Yeah, and that one was obviously in the finals, I think, so it was a little bit different, but that moment, like, that was...
Starks, a former Warrior.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. God, you got a lot of shots up. Let's get out to... we got a couple minutes here. Let's get out to Savon in San Francisco. Has the perfect trade for Golden State. Savon, what's going on? Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Chilling. How are you?
Good. So... De'Aaron Fox of Sacramento for Stephen Curry, straight up. Perfect trade for both teams. Warriors get 10 years younger player, actually better than Stephen Curry right now, and Sacramento may need Stephen Curry's experience. Perfect trade. You're getting probably the similar contracts there, and... say goodbye to Stephen Curry. Everybody's afraid to say it. Just get a good player for him right now.
Thanks, Savon. Appreciate the call. Well, Devone's been not on the train, but that's...
I would just say that if you're entertaining, resetting, starting anew, you've got few assets, and one of them is Steph Curry. Now, I know that comes with a lot of baggage of trading Steph Curry, but... if you're really about getting better and getting younger, and I don't even know, you talk about what Draymond Green is going to fetch back. I don't know what it is that Steph Curry is going to bring you back, totally for different reasons. When you're making $63 million a year, it becomes challenging.
Well, that's one of the hangups in the Butler potential deal. It's like it's hard to move those salaries. So I think it's a big hangup in the LaVine deal. That's why they're trying to get off him, because he's a massive contract. Yeah, there are lots of hurdles that they have to jump. I don't know. The thing about, well, number one, I don't think that would ever happen. Number one, because Fox probably don't want to go to Golden State. I don't know if the Kings want to do business with Golden State. And three, Curry to me is a legacy player that I believe will retire with the Warriors. Draymond Green's, the end of his career is up in the air. That one I do not know. And I think that, like, for example, if Draymond signs another contract, it will not be with the Warriors. Either he plays out the remainder of his deal, which I think is two more seasons, and he walks off into the TNT studio, or he signs a contract elsewhere, because I don't think they're going to want to bring him back at that point. He'll be 37.
If I can get anything for him on Thursday, I am moving him. And don't be surprised if his name pops up on Thursday.
Draymond?
Yeah.
I would be, just because, again, I don't think he's...
No, it's not something that, you know, I'm not predicting this. But again, you're looking to get younger, and you're looking to move an asset sooner rather than later. don't get old together and go off to the sunset. I told you, I covered the Mariners, and they made this declaration. We're not trading Edgar Martinez. We're not trading John Olerud. And then they went like 25 years before they went back to the playoffs.
Well, the Mariners also been to the playoffs a whole lot of, in general. It's different when you're talking about champions. Now, with Draymond, I don't know about Steph. I just don't think they would ever trade him. Draymond, I think it's past the point of no return. If you were going to trade him, if you were going to get off him, it would have had to have been when he opted out of his deal and allegedly had a contract for Memphis for more money. That was your out.
Yeah.
And again, that's where the Warriors are. As a result of decisions, they got to lay in the bed that they made. They had a chance to get off of Draymond, and they didn't do it. And at the time, I don't think it was an unpopular opinion to keep him. Everyone wanted him. Well, maybe not everybody. The majority, the consensus was he should stay. And now, a couple years later, you're regretting it.
Yeah, and you're going to regret it even more a couple of years from now.
Yeah, I mean, in a couple of years, you might regret Curry being 39 years old, making $60 million. But that's the price that you pay.
I think Warrior fans just have, they have to have that moment where they have to ask themselves, is my emotional attachment to someone like that of a Steph Curry? And my relationship with this player growing up with him and seeing what it is that he's done and as much as he's meant to the community and NBA championships, does that, you know, trump my passion, my fandom as far as getting better again and winning more championships or at least being relevant? Am I willing to, you know, compromise the future by doing the right thing for a player that was so instrumental in me being a fan of the Golden State Warriors for the last 10 years.
Well, we're at the point, though, that it's like business has got to take over. I mean, by business, I mean basketball. The only player that I think you owe anything to is Curry. Everyone else, you do not owe anything to as a franchise. And some people would even say you owe Curry $60 million and that's it. But to me, Curry's the only like emotional sort of attachment that the Warriors have. Everybody else is fair game, and I don't think that Draymond is a player that could fetch you anything, which is why he'd stay, but I bet if he could, his name would be in trade talks. I mean, there's the reason why I think Andrew Wiggins is always involved in any of these machinations, right, with Butler or LaVine or whoever, it's because he's a player that they want. Like, Miami could use Andrew Wiggins. The Bulls could use Andrew Wiggins. I don't know how much they could use Draymond Green.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody out there sees high value in Draymond again for this year.
Like who's a Draymond Green away?
I could see Houston making an argument. I could see...
But they're good because they do play great defense, but they're fast. They're young. They're long. Draymond Green's not fast or young anymore.
No, but because they have, you know, fast, long basketball players and a lot of them, the one thing that are missing is a veteran leadership or energy or that coach on the floor. I mean, it's going to be for somebody that wants to win a title this year. And it's going to be that guy. They're missing a guy that gives you the experience in the postseason. We just talked about all these young teams that the one thing they're missing is the experience. Houston included. And OKC, remember Ant-Man last year? He dominated the regular season.
Yep.
And then he gets into the Western Conference Finals against Dallas, and suddenly, you know, in a game seven, he didn't even want the ball, or he was a completely different player. It's because he's getting his rites of passage. You got to go through that before you break through that wall. Well, to circumvent that, maybe Draymond Green is the difference maker of getting you to the NBA Finals. If somebody is looking at it through that lens and is willing to overpay, I'm not saying they're out there, but I'm certainly going to take a look, or I'm dangling him.
No, I agree. And he's not quite this player, but to me it's like going out and getting a piece, like the guy that's going to be the difference maker. To me, I think more about that player as being like a closer or being a one. And Draymond Green might be a defensive closer, but he's not at the point in his career anymore where he can do it. Like, he's going to have to play, let's say he's in perfect world, he's the difference between you being a first-round team and being a finals team. That's an extra 2 months of basketball that you're asking Draymond Green to stay healthy for, to play at a high level for. I just don't know if he's got that in him anymore. You know, that's on top of the 6 months that he just tried to play and stay healthy. You know, he's old, man. Let's finish with Miley in Walnut Creek. Sneak Miley in before we get on out of here. Miley, what's up?
Hey guys, I always love these weekend shows. They're so good because you guys just get dirty and just talk basketball.
Thanks.
But I wanted to say, I got two things. I'd like to do the Draymond, not a potential trade, but a trade I could see happening first, and then I want to give you my Curry take. But real quick on Draymond, I could see the Lakers valuing Draymond. If you had a front line of LeBron, AD, and Draymond, that's pretty significant. And what I could see them potentially putting out for Draymond would be Austin Reeves and maybe a contract like Vanderbilt. But the reason I say Austin Reeves is they've got the kid Dalton Connect ready to go. That kid could start right now. So a Draymond for Reeves swap sounds, you know, I think Reeves is good for the Warriors because he's on the younger side. He's a creator. He's a ball handler. He would fit with Steph. I think it's a nice little role-playing guy who can start for you, who's a good player. Then on the Steph take, I am a Steph fan. I'm a Warrior fan, huge. I'll always be a Warrior fan. But if Steph were to get traded somewhere and he's shooting for a title, I'm going to root for that team because of Steph. Like, I want Steph to go somewhere where I can watch him in the playoffs and root hard for him. Even if he was a Laker, I would root for the Lakers because Steph's on it in the playoffs.
Gotcha, Miley. Thank you. Yeah.
No way in hell the Lakers are trading Austin Reeves for Draymond Green.
That's my point. Like, if you could get Austin Reeves and Jared Vanderbilt for Draymond Green,
no.
I'll drive you to the airport.
That's not happening.
But it would
He's their third best player.
You could get Cam Reddish, you know.
Yeah, well.
No, that's kind of my point, though. But on the last note, I'm kind of with you, Miley. I don't think it would ever happen. But I think he's in the majority. A lot of people would root for
Shot you talking to me.
Yeah, sorry, Dre. You'll be around. You'll be here past Thursday. I can't wait till our next show, Dan.
You sure about that?
I feel pretty good.
All right.
You want to make a bet?
Sure.
All right. Well, we got to go out together anyways. So the next time we do, or the first time we do, let's have a pop.
Russian, just for the sake of this show, to stay within the theme, we'll do a white Russian.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Let's bet a white Russian. Draymond Green, still a Warrior, on Thursday. I got it. Dan says no. And on that note, we'll talk to you next place. We'll talk to you next weekend. Same time, same place, 9 to noon on Warriors This Week for Steven Rizzotto, a.k.a. Pasta, producing his ass off today. Thank you very much. For Dan DeVoe, my name is Evan Gittings, saying so long. Thank you to everybody who called in, texted in. We love you. Take it easy. We're out.
Are you in good hands?